Welcome all to the 2025 Month 1 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of January to the 31st of January 2025. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the Credet Group. Firstly, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Next, Stephen will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of January and will give a refresh on the core principles Credet was built on. We will also be looking at segments on our monthly reports and any updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some key information from it, with some updates on Credet. And lastly, Patrick would like to talk about the equitable ETS at the end of this meeting. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to George, who's a member of our deal desk.
Thank you, Maria. I hope everyone is having a good afternoon. As you are aware, many of the opportunities that we work on are from outside of Ireland. However, it is refreshing for us when we are in discussions with potential originators that are close to home. And currently we have some very interesting potential deals from Ireland. One such company is based in Cork and was founded in 2007. This is an award-winning family-run business. Its mission when forming was to bring the vibrant flavors of Indian cuisine to kitchens in Ireland and worldwide. They pride themselves on delivering the freshest spices, traveling from source to sauce in just 8 weeks. Excuse me. By partnering with sustainable farms in India, they ensure that each product is rich in flavor and authenticity. Their range includes spice blends, sauces, rice and chutneys, all crafted to make it easy for home cooks to create delicious dishes. The company's dedication to quality has not come unnoticed, as its products are available online and in over 80 specialty food stores, farm shops, and cookery schools throughout Ireland, including notable retailers like Avoca and Donnybrook Fair. With a commitment to quality, sustainability, and culinary excellence, this company is set to spice up kitchens around the globe for years to come. Their success has also led to significant expansion into the UK market, with products now available in Waitrose supermarkets. The deal that we are in discussions with them about involves their need for finance for the shipment of a large container of spices. The cargo has left India and is due to arrive in the coming weeks. They do not sell all of the spices in the container. This is sold to several customers. For the current deal, they have a customer that will take 60% of the goods, while the balance will be sold within 90 days. Another interesting deal we're working on, based in Ireland also, is a quarry business. The quarry was purchased 12 months ago and is located in Kilkenny. They require finance as they have been developing the quarry over several months. The quarry was purchased in 2024. And it is a 68-acre of land that consists of 47 acres of quarry land and 21 acres of agricultural land. The new owner of this quarry has permission under the planning permission to bring the quarry back up to agricultural levels and will have the income on the quarry for a minimum of 5 years. It then can be sold as agricultural land, and he can also redeem the 250,000 on bonds held by the council and refund it once the planning is complete back to the agricultural level. Providing finance will allow us to secure future income and a charge over the quarry. A customer has already confirmed their intention to draw 40 loads per day. We're also in discussion with a UK-based company who specialise in a wide range of office and packaging supplies, including printer paper, tapes, boxes, and so on. Their product catalogue also encompasses various categories, such as personal protective footwear, books and pads, and business technology. Notable brands, such as Navigator, HP, Canon, and Xerox, are among their offerings, ensuring quality and reliability for customers. They also maintain an active presence on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram, engaging with their community and providing updates on products and promotions. And the deal that we're talking to them about involves the purchase of a large amount of office supplies from a supplier in the United Kingdom to then be sold on Amazon. Another company that we're quite far in the process with and hope to trade within the next coming weeks is a prominent exporter of high quality hardwood charcoal to international markets. The company was established in 2009 has built a reputation for delivering premium charcoal products to clients worldwide. They source their charcoal from sustainable forests across Nigeria, ensuring that each batch meets rigorous quality standards. The company's commitment to excellence has made it a preferred supplier for businesses in Europe and other parts of the world. With a strategic location in Lagos, they efficiently manage logistics to fulfill orders from international clients. Their export operations are streamlined to ensure timely deliveries, maintaining strong relationships with partners across various continents. And the deal we're talking to them about involves the purchase of charcoal from a supplier in Nigeria to then be sold to an international buyer. Keeping to the topic then of charcoal, compared to regular wood, charcoal burns hotter and produces less smoke, making it a more efficient fuel source. Activated charcoal, which is treated to increase its absorbency, is widely used in medicine. Many water filters also use activated charcoal to remove impurities and improve taste by trapping contaminants in tiny pores. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. It's my pleasure as always, and I will leave you now over to my colleague, Stephen.
Thanks for that, George. It's interesting to hear DealDesk are in discussions about providing finance to a quarry owner in Kilkenny. Fortunately for Gerdes, our largest originator is already involved in this sector, and lessons learned can be applied, ensuring best to structure any future deals with this entity. That being said, I'd like to revisit our largest originator again this month, even though we've discussed them at length at previous briefings. To recap, they initially joined the exchange in 2021 and since then have traded significant sums across their debtor and creditor statements, where they have utilised several of Credet's facilities, which include A-Tour, B-Tour and D-Tour finance. However, for this month's briefing, we would like to focus on FETUR future revenue, which has provided them with working capital, allowing them to remain competitive in the construction and mining sectors across the UK and Ireland. Since our last presentation, they've continued their involvement with infrastructure projects in the UK, the most notable being the HS2 high-speed rail link connecting London to Birmingham. As you probably are already aware, this is a massive infrastructure project with costs estimated to exceed over £100 billion. Our originator was awarded several subcontracts related to the HS2 project, where they were tasked with jobs related to earthworks, removal of demolition materials, as well as producing aggregates required for groundworks. These projects have generated substantial ETR transactions, with our client trading over 233 million worth of debtor invoices on the exchange over the last 4 years. This activity has contributed significantly to the sale rate commissions generated on Credet, and as a result has benefited Investable's investors and intermediaries alike. However, for this month, I would like to discuss a recently settled FETUR facility. Due to the contractual nature of the construction industry, our client entered an NEC Option C target contract for earthworks. This subcontract was structured in such a way that allowed the contractor and the client agree target costs with reimbursements based on actual costs, plus a fee for overheads and profit. If the actual costs fall below the target, both parties share the savings or gains. However, if the costs exceed the target, both parties share the overspend, considered as pain, which reduces the contractor's overall profit. As our originator was already trading this contract's payment certificates as monthly DETR invoices and drawing down on the purchase payment price, TradeDesk were fully aware of the agreement existing between parties. However, as the project progressed and significant savings or gains were being made, our client approached us with a proposal to access working capital based on the anticipated future revenue. Their proposal comprised of using the accumulated gains so funds could be availed now before the project's completion date. To assess this proposal, Credet engaged the services of a professional quantity surveyor, PQS, who conducted an earned value analysis, EVA, comparing the target figure with the value to date. Using these figures, he was able to calculate the pain gain percentage and determined the contractor's savings would indeed be substantial at the end of the contract. Based on the PQS's recommendations, we concluded the subcontract agreement could be used as security, and based on these audited results, Credet granted an FETR facility. However, to mitigate against risks of overspend, we monitored project savings monthly, ensuring our originator remained within budget and gains were assured at the end of the project. Towards the end of last year, our client approached us, suggesting early drawdown on the gains would be wise, even at a discounted rate. The reason behind this decision was due to the increased negative publicity the HS2 was coming under and the Labour government's hardening stance on public overspending. Credet advised against early settlement, believing our client held a strong position and they should hold firm due to the substantial savings accrued over the project's life cycle. To support this view, Credet offered additional short-term finance, ensuring our client's liquidity. However, after considering our offer, alongside other commercial factors, our client ultimately decided to proceed with early settlement. A commercial settlement meeting was organized and early settlement of the gains released. To facilitate this, a deed of variation was issued, which modified the existing subcontract from option C target contract to option A price contract. As a result, the agreed works completed to date were worth £44 million, with project savings or gains worth £8 million to the contractor. We congratulated our client on their successful venture, and with this agreement settled the FETR facility, which was initially granted for £3.25 million. Additionally, since the project savings were being paid in two equal installments of £4 million, the first being transferred at the end of February and the remaining balance at the end of March. As a result, our client chose to trade the deed of variation as two separate DETR invoices, which allow them draw down the purchase payment price while they awaited funds to arrive. This in turn has generated additional salary charges on top of the commission already incurred on the settled FETR facility, which ultimately benefits our investors. As always, Credet remains committed to leveraging investable funds, ensuring our clients maintain liquidity, all while capitalizing on market opportunities which present themselves. Hope you found this presentation informative. I will now pass you over to Maria, who's going to discuss key global factors along with Credet's recent trading figures.
Thanks, Stephen. It's always interesting to hear about originator companies on the exchange and the various trades that we're working on. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that January started off at 1,023. The index fluctuated during the month of January, reaching as high as 1,097 before continuing its downward trend in the latter half of the month and ending at a figure of 735. The Baltic Index was recorded at 1,112 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy and factor in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. Moving to global news, we see that the Flash PMI survey showed that the Eurozone economy barely expanded midway through the first quarter. This has put the region on course for another quarter of sluggish 0.1% GDP growth. Employment fell marginally for a seventh successive month, as a slight rise in services employment was countered by a marked reduction in manufacturing workforce numbers. The European Central Bank cut rates by a quarter of a point in line with expectations to further policy easing as concerns rise over economic growth. This decision means that the ECB has cut its main rate from 3% to 2.75%. Looking at the UK, inflation has hit a 10-month high in January, reaching 3% and up from 2.5% in December. The Bank of England forecasts that inflation could rise to 3.7% in the middle of the year, propelled by higher global energy costs. The higher bills are impacting a wider UK economy, with consumer confidence among UK households decreasing, partly because of the rising price cap. The sterling rose 0.4% against the dollar as the UK looks set to continue missing the majority of US President Donald Trump's tariffs for the time being. Moving to the US, we see that US consumer confidence plummeted this month, the biggest monthly decline in more than 4 years. Markets on the Wall Street also immediately dropped. The S&P 500 fell 0.6%, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average was flat. President Trump also confirmed he would subject Mexican and Canadian goods to the full 25% tariff and imports from China to a 10% tariff. The US has also threatened 25% tariffs on the European Union. According to Bloomberg, Trump's tariffs could hit as much as $29.3 billion or 28 billion euro of the bloc's exports. Economists widely believe that tariffs will raise costs in the US, while fears of triggering a trade war are on the horizon. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 46.8 million euro, with 62.8 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 66, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 4.53 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections this month amounted to 6.59 million euro, with the exchange's performance once again continuing to jump ahead of all prior years. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from Skanska Costain, EKFB, and Atradius. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, are construction debtors, Skanska Costain, and EKFB. CBRE is also back near the top, with the HSE and Geogas trading moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graph showed the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, health, construction, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with the regular and reoccurring ones, as well as new debtors, being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with CBRE and Atradius representing this sector. Construction was our second largest in performance this month, which is represented by Skanska Costain in our largest holdings for January. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month one in 2024, there was 8.91 million euro traded compared to month one of 2025, which has decreased by around 49% to 4.53 million euro traded for January. However, volumes also decreased for this month as the value to volume ratio increased again in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions also decreased to 0.28 million euro, with the credit index at 66 for month one. Finally, following the last briefing, our largest trade was a construction trade this month at 1.02 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started slightly higher than the previous month at 2.161% and remained steady throughout the first week of the month. It started to rapidly decline in the middle of the month, reaching a low of 2.115% before slowly increasing towards the end of the month to finish at 2.139%, with potential for February's rates to ease and remain steady. As you all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.50%, fixed at 4.25% for 12 months, and term at 15% at the end of 36 months. This section shows that demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and the equitable ETS, which has been a topic with many of you and Patrick, it is predicted this will continue to grow. And as before, the document ends with the active RSA figure of 48.8 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for January 2025. Thank you.